Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thank you, Tom. I'm Dave Cohen. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Thank you, Dave. I want to get to our guest here, Brian Levin, director of the Center of the Study for Hate and Extremism at California State University. San Bernardino. We've talked to him before about conspiracy theories and violence. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks so much for having me, and a shout out to all my friends in the Crescent City.
All right. I'm reading from a story here from the LA Times about the shooter in Buffalo, that he represents a new generation, appears to represent a new generation of white supremacists. They are isolated and online, radicalized on internet memes and misinformation, and then can be inspired by live streams to try to find fame through bloodshed. The Department of Homeland Security has said white supremacist is the biggest threat of domestic terrorism in the country. What do the facts say? What does the Department of Homeland Security expand on this? And tell me, I guess we should start with replacement theory, because I don't waste my time with nonsense, but apparently some people do, and this replacement theory is a thing that's kind of making its way through the dark web or something. Talk to me about that, if you would, please, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. And just let me say, you know, every time I go on these shows, they say FBI said, DHS said. And I'm like, yeah, and a lot of their reports look like the stuff that we came out years before and the year before.
Really?
So okay. Some of the verbiage in the DHS stuff was like exactly what was in our report from like a year prior. Look, we were warning about this for some time, and that includes before South Carolina, Mother Emanuel, and all the rest of them. But here's what's so interesting, and thank you for asking the question. We're seeing something new occur, and we have data around it as well. So let me just step back a second. One of the things that we've seen, just more broadly, right, before I get into replacement theory, okay, more broadly, we're seeing a stickier internet. And what I mean is we're seeing this kind of invective and conspiracizing and stereotyping really go across a wide swath of strata. In other words, not just the horrible, more vile, like 4chan and Telegram kind of stuff, but on Facebook as well. And on broadcast television. And some of it's more sugar-coated, but it's different steps. It's different steps down. So this particular offender, really interesting, almost textbook to what we've seen. It usually takes a year to 18 months, we've seen, for folks to get radicalized. But what I thought was so interesting, we had kind of a perfect storm with this particular teenage terrorist. So what do I mean? First, yeah, we had this replacement theory. We'll talk more about it, but let me just tell you what it is. It is a conspiracy theory that suggests the demographic change that we're experiencing is part of an overall plan by elites and others to destroy America with an influx of immigrants, or in some ways just people of color. It's a transnational thing, and you know it's been going on in some way for decades and decades. Hey, down south, you know, Maddow had the story about Senator Bilbo from Mississippi talking about the mongrelization and stuff like that. So that's been a key thing for some time, but it got supercharged in recent years and in recent decades. So in '73, there was a book, Camp of the Saints, that put this kind of thing out. And then about a decade ago, a book called Le Grand Replacement by a Frenchman named Camus, not the one we all studied in school. And again, what I think is so interesting, a couple of things happened. We had this, you know, ubiquitous social media that people got involved more and more with, and particularly during the pandemic when people were more socially isolated, particularly those who had some kind of emotional or mental distress. And it got hypercharged. So that's what I'm saying. What's so interesting is that this conspiracy theory popped up everywhere, not just on broadcast news, but on talk radio and in memes. If you look at this terrorist manifesto, which I hope you don't, a lot of memes. And what that does, there's certain types of prejudice. One is kind of a deliberative one. You sit down and you think about it and go, yeah, I don't like WWL because they don't have enough traffic reports or something like that, right? Which actually you do. But there's also a visceral, more emotional response that we have with regard to prejudice. And what has happened is we had multiple cylinders hitting at all times. You know, in other words, this kind of replacement theory has been discussed in socio-political circles, but it's also now on broadcast television and it's memeified that somehow we're being destroyed. So any little thing that points to change, either in culture or society, that's just the smoke, in other words, the warning sign of the destruction of our society by people of color and immigrants who can't assimilate, don't want to assimilate, and are an enemy to our values. And that's what it is.
It seems fear-driven in that, and here's the thing that I don't get. I thought conservatives were supposed to think, and I do, that I'm in control of my own destiny. I can work as hard as I want to be whatever it is that I want. But if you're a conservative, how can you then say, and I had a text conversation with somebody yesterday that was a retired accountant that had the boogeyman liberals, and I kept trying to explain that liberals are not a boogeyman. Liberals are people that might be your neighbor that look at the country and think it should be run in a different way, which as an American, they have every right to do that. But I think this person was terrified because they had retired. Now the stock market's tanking. They're looking for somebody to blame. They want a simple solution to a complex problem. So you know what? And the politicians are more than happy to feed this to people so that they can divide and conquer, because all they want to do is get reelected, right? And some of this is making its way into the government and into elected officials. And I think it all comes down to people that are afraid. And I think if you're a conservative and you blame somebody else for your, I think you might be a little bit of a hypocrite and don't really know what you believe. That's part of my manifesto. Comment on that, if you will, what I just said.
You know, I'd rather listen to you than listen to me. And one of the things that, one of the things I like about certain radio shows is the host gets it. That was going to be the next point that I make. When someone is fearful and isolated and in an echo chamber that repeats images and symbols that confirm emotionally, not intellectually. Remember, we talked about the deliberative prejudice, but the emotional. With prejudice, there are three components. You have the information you come in, the cognitive, but there's also an emotional response to that, and then there's the behavioral. And one of the things that we saw, listen to this, you hit on it. 5 days after the San Bernardino terror attack, which hit our community, candidate Trump put out the Muslim ban proposal, rolled it out. Hate crimes against Muslims rose another 23% after that. So when we had that fear stuff, let's look at another thing. You talk about politicians. Charlottesville month, August 2017, was the third worst month of the decade for hate crime. By the way, the other two were election month 2016, presidential election month, and October 2018, right before the midterms. And we saw either fatal terrorist plots or attacks around both. So what happens is this is a very, as I said, not only a sticky kind of rhetoric, but it's one that people get viscerally. Impulsively almost, and it's reconfirmed. These fears and stereotypes and conspiracy theories are reconfirmed, sometimes with a little grain of truth or something like that. But the bottom line is what we saw, for instance, in 2020, is this stuff get hypercharged because it politically works. We were talking about the Muslim ban. Not only did hate crimes go up, but candidate Trump's approval rating following in the days following as well went up 25% in battleground state of South Carolina. So what we're seeing is there's currency to this. There's social and political currency because a lot of people don't have the discussions that we have. By the way, Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s, you know who they were after? Yeah, they didn't like African-Americans, but they really supercharged on this xenophobic anti-immigrant stuff because of immigrants from Eastern Europe as well as Ireland.
I know, Brian, as you said what you just said, I don't know what percentage of the audience immediately heard you say Trump and then turned you off. Immediately right after that said, oh, well, this guy hates Trump. He's one of them. So therefore, I put no credence in what he says. People have filters like that, do they not? And as a result, if that's the filter that it has to go through first, if just by mentioning the name Trump, then I don't understand how people can do their own thinking and evaluate something rationally if that's the case. Is that what you found at the center? And it's not just about Trump. Look, it can be about anybody. Elizabeth Warren, pick a name. I don't care.
Oh, let me give you something else. If you want to make it, you know, some kind of equalized a little bit, the notion that, you know, folks are under attack and need to respond in a violent way, the polls show is more common among the hard right. But we have about a third of that on the left with regard to rhetoric. What we don't have, though, is the kind of eliminationist doctrine around it that's much more popularized in certain subcultures. So what I'm saying to you is the way – and by the way, on the hard left, you know, punch a Nazi. And that thing then expands to journalists or people who they disagree with. But bottom line is when we're looking at the data, okay, white supremacist far-right homicides have been dominated since 2018. Extremist homicides have been dominated by far-right white supremacists in the United States. So could this happen with other subgroups? Yeah, but we have a little bit of a thing with regard to tactics. Look at this fellow, for instance, the teenage terrorist. He became radicalized in relatively short term, but he went down to the depths of the worst kind of sludge platforms on social media. I don't think he watched Tucker Carlson that much. We don't know. But what I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter because there's an elastic pool of grievance out there online and elsewhere. And what that does is it labels certain groups as legitimate targets for aggression. And the tactics for this aggression that is played out is this eliminationist doctrine. So I'm not saying there aren't like nasty people on the left. I'm sure there are. But they're not killing folks and using the eliminationist doctrine in the way that the hard right is. And by the way, let's look at Republicans, for instance. John McCain, look at his concession speech. Folks, go look it up. Bringing America together. George Bush, another Republican, when he spoke tolerantly about Muslims 6 days after 9/11, hate crimes against Muslims dropped precipitously the next day and into the next year. And what we've seen, and I don't want people to think I'm picking on Republicans. We're a nonpartisan center. But what I'm saying to you is when we look at the data, okay, November FBI, what we did is we took all these thousands of FBI cases over 30 years, and we broke them down by day-by-day ticks. What was the worst day for hate crime in 2019? The day impeachment was announced in all the newspapers. So what I'm saying to you is our political polarization does not just stop at politics, because when people, as you had said, and thank you so much for bringing this up, when people have a fear, that fear is a wave that goes over and it's over those sandcastles of deliberation, and it hits people right in their guts, and it is exploited that way. So for young people, for people who are under stress, and others who are in that echo chamber, this kind of bigotry will appeal, because it's not just a debate about, you know, immigration. There's an elite conspiracy, and those people are threats, and they must be eliminated. And that's what takes it to another level.
Here. Let me take a break. Yeah. We'll pick it up. We come back, Brian. And I want to start with this. As you said that about, you know, let's talk about January 6th. If I bring up January 6th, I'm going to get a dozen texts that talk about Black Lives Matter burning down buildings. Black Lives Matter burning down buildings and police stations is wrong. It's criminal. Trying to overthrow the government is wrong. It's criminal. But yet somehow the wrong part gets lost in all of that in the competition between them and us. And that's what concerns me about the country going forward. We'll pick it up here. We come back 9:23. I'm Tommy Tucker talking to Brian Levin, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino, about conspiracy theories and violence. And we'll be back in a flash here on WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Brian Levin, director of the Center for Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. And I read the quote before that isolated and online radicalized on internet memes. And as I'm talking about this, somebody that I know that is a conspiracy theorist sends me a meme full of misinformation. And it just, Brian, makes me pull what little hair I have left out. And let me get back to what I was talking about before the break. When you talk about January 6th, conservatives say, yeah, but what about Black Lives Matters? They burn down buildings.
Let's talk about it. Yeah,
that's
let's
wrong.
Talk about it.
That's wrong. When you say,
yeah.
And then other people say, well, they tried to overthrow the government. Both are wrong. You can't do either one. And it just, it seems to me what troubles me in this country is we're getting away from what's right, what's wrong, what makes sense, what doesn't. And we're so damned concerned about our side winning, that gets lost in a shuffle. Thoughts?
Absolutely. Oh, boy, do I have thoughts. And even better, I have data. So a couple of quick things. Let's look at leadership, okay? If you want, go online, anybody. Look at the Get Your Knees Off Our Neck rally, which Ben Crump and Al Sharpton, who are really, you know, the highest transmitters, right, involving Black Lives Matter type issues, right? In other words, they're ubiquitous on TV and this and that. I've not once heard them say that they want to get rid of cops or anything like that, or that we should hurt police. Go listen to Ben Crump and listen to the victims' families talking at that rally. Now, so that's like leadership and retransmitted, right?
But that being said, there have been legitimate defund the police movements, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, but absolutely. I'm a former cop, okay? I get
okay.
it. But what I'm saying to you is that's a political thing about where you're going to fund, where you're going to put funding. That's a political thing, okay? And by the way, let's just say there was over $1 billion worth of damage and all kinds of stuff. I was on Fox News Channel the night of one of them, and they said, do you condemn this? And I said, you know, there's a night that there was a killing of a federal security officer up in Oakland. And I said, of course I condemn it. Turned out it was by a right-wing extremist. But here's the thing. Just bear with me. Listen to this.
Okay.
Princeton, over 94% of these protests were, in fact, peaceful. 94. Now, there were a bunch. There were ones that weren't. And we had $1 billion worth of damage. When you have, like, these kind of rolling grassroots things, there will be people who are extremists or opportunists who will take advantage of that. But the leadership with regard to, like, the get your knees off our next rally and stuff like that, time and time again, I hear them say that. And what they were looking for was for some legislative change. Also, most of the people that were killed during that time were actually African American, including one here in California was run over by a white supremacist. So let's get that fact straight. But hold on. So we had all these rallies going on, right? But you know what else we had in June 2020? What do you think? We had the worst month for anti-black hate crime ever. So what I'm saying to you is what would happen is, these bad people who did bad things, that was in a feedback loop that got repeated and repeated online and on broadcast news in a way that gave it an image that was not representative of the thousands of protests that took place across the country. And one of the things that we saw was these hate crimes against blacks were spread out across the country, just like these social justice protests. Fast forward, January 6th and stuff like that, that's based on a conspiracy of lies. So you have to kind of break it down. What I'm saying to you is what we do when we're looking at extremism, we look, what is the leadership saying? How are they spreading their message? Are there people in a movement that are exploiting and trying to talk about violence? So, yeah, but here's the thing. With the social justice protests, those folks, most of them, and we went to some to interview people. Most of them wanted their voice heard and wanted legislative change. And that's a little different than basing an insurrection on a conspiracy of lies,
but
like
let
a
me
stolen
jump in.
Election.
Let me jump in for a second here. That being said, not everybody that was in Washington was trying to overthrow the government. Not everybody that supports President Trump is trying to overthrow the government. The people that broke into the Capitol were trying to overthrow the government, and I don't know how you can phrase it any other way, just to be fair and honest and keep it truthful. Am I right?
You are totally – look, people have a right to back a candidate and to back – certain positions. But here's what I think is so amazing is that the kind of language that's coming out, eliminationist language, and also based on a false conspiracy. The election wasn't stolen in 2020. That's different than saying, like, you know, George Floyd was actually murdered. Okay. So there are a variety of markers that we look at. What is leadership saying? Is the grievance based on a lie? Right. That kind of thing. Yeah. There were certainly people who did violent things during June 2020. But the leadership and the history with respect to the black civil rights movement in this country, with respect to Martin Luther King, and it was the main stuff. Yeah. There have been African-American extremists. But what I'm saying is we're not seeing the kind of eliminationist language and the appeal to this glorification of a weaponized warrior. And that's part of the atmospheric. So, yes, people are humans and people can respond violently when they're emotionally connected to something. But what I'm saying to you is the house of cards with regard to what we're seeing with racist violence, like what we saw in Buffalo, is part of an industry in this country where eliminationist language is being used. And we're hearing about this, you know, kind of existential threat. During that time, BLM Antifa Socialist was all over social media, and there were rumors that there were airplane loads and bus loads coming to your town, this kind of hyping up of stuff based on false conspiracies. One other quick thing. On the social media, what happened was there was this echo chamber where these false conspiracy theories, along with the eliminationist doctrine, got some people riled up to have what you had as kind of this quasi-organized assault on the Capitol. That's different when you have like hundreds or thousands of protests and 6% of them become violent. It's different, not by degree, but definitionally. But yes, you are right. Violence is wrong. Are there violent people on the left? Yes, but they're not killing folks in the numbers that we're seeing from white supremacists and neo-Nazis and replacement theory folks. And the issue is people are being softened up on broadcast news and on some talk radio to this kind of stuff. And it's a rabbit hole because they're interconnected steps where you can listen to Tucker Carlson one night, and then the next night you'll get something even more confirmed emotionally with even less facts and more conspiracism. One last quick point. When we have these kinds of conspiracy theories and stereotypes, what sociologists like Robin Williams at Cornell found was that it labels who is a legitimate target for violence within a subculture. So when you have politicians really pushing this and there's an echo chamber of it, that's what you get. And the same thing with this hate crime hoax baloney. We went through all the hate crime hoaxes that we could find. In other words, where a report of a crime that was supposed to be caused by hate was done. And what we found in 2018, out of 7,000, more than 7,000, there were 11 confirmed hoaxes.
But there's
an industry that puts this false stuff out there.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your time. Brian Levin, director of the Center for Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. And I get a text here of people, some from one guy saying that you can't overthrow the government when you're let into the Capitol by police. They opened the barricades for him. They didn't force themselves into the building. That's not overthrowing anything. The people that were breaking into the building were Antifa plants. there were Trump supporters fighting those that were doing the damage. So I guess you can make up whatever you want if you want to believe it, but I think it's a disturbing trend in this country where you're so concerned with your side winning that you're willing to make up and believe whatever you want or use whatever snippet of video that you have that doesn't tell the entire story to prove that you're right or wrong. And meanwhile, responsible behavior, right and wrong, becomes irrelevant, and I don't think that's a good thing for this country. We'll lighten up, talk Pelicans basketball when we come back with Ali Cosell, 938, 22 till 10. Time for traffic now on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.